Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life. This is a weekly seminar Bible study that focuses on difficult biblical texts and topics or passages that anyone would like to understand. If you have a passage you want to understand or any text you want to discuss, hey, you just shoot an email and we are going to do a study for you and discuss it. This is our job. Okay. Today we will complete the study of New Age movement. This is a very good study. There's one of the experts that is trying to answer the worldview questions, and then conclude the entire study on the new experts that most people are following today instead of the church. We will look at the deists, scientists, Darwinists, evolutionists, and the New Age movement and other areas. Hey, Rob, will you please pray for us so that the Lord will bless our time here as we share our final thought tonight on this specific topic.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this time that you've set aside, that you've ordained for us to meet together, to fellowship and to study your word, and to learn more about you, Father. Lord, we just come before you, pray that you minister through us, speak to each and every one of us, and touch our hearts and our minds, Father. Lord, there are so many distractions, so many things that attack the right and holy worldview that we should maintain, Father, that undermine it. And Lord, I just pray that we use this time to root those things out and to make sure that we are on a firm foundation, on the foundation that you've set, Father. Thank you so much for this time, and we just give it back to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amen. Rob. Thank you. Thank you. We will complete the New Age movement. The key point that we raise within the New Age movement is that the New Age movement revives the occult and rejects Christianity and science. What they have done, they brought back all of the various sects that the Baha'i faith. You can think about Gnosticism, the Ebionites, you know, these different occults are all revived within the New Age movement. So that's what makes this movement very, very special in our study. And we just need to look up to God every time as we study, because it is very, very, very important. New Age. It is very important that the Lord will continue to use us, you know, for his own glory. Now, we've been talking about New Age. If you want to know more about what we've been studying, I want you to go back. Go back to the various videos that we have out there and follow it. They will bless you a lot, okay? But tonight, we will look at the New Age doctrine versus the Bible doctrine. We started that last week. We didn't finish it. So we're going to start right back there this week. But before then, I'm just going to read our text that you know that we are looking at what? The existence. Don't forget about it. We are not digressing from our main point. We are proving the existence of Adam and Eve, and that they got married in the Garden of Eden. And the various sects that we've been studying, they are saying, no, this is not correct. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Pick it up if you your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. If you have it, I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." 24 says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, this is what God did in the Garden of Eden. But the point here is that many dissenting voices are out there, and they are saying the story, I mean, the issue of the Garden of Eden is a myth. So whenever it's a myth, then of course, we also know too that the issue of the cross is challenged. The issue of marriage is also challenged, because God is the one that instituted that. So we've been looking at various groups. And what we've been discussing mainly in that was the church was in full control. But when Satan revisited the church, and because of something, the church began to go out of control, doing some wrong things. So there was a major fight within the church. Owing to that, those who were looking up to the church at the time for their worldview questions, they were confused. They didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do, because they needed an answer. And there was no one. The people who were answering their questions were now fighting among themselves. So the next thing was, they wanted to know, to find answer for themselves. That's been the problem. Now, when we talk about worldview, it's so important, as we had discussed. Worldview is so important because it determines what to think, how to think, how to act, and what to value. So it's so important. The way you think, the things you value, come from your worldview. And so whenever your worldview is challenged, then you have a problem. So tonight we are going to look at New Age doctrine versus the Bible doctrine. And then from there, we are going to conclude the final section I have already mentioned. One, the Bible says the word is truth. New Age says truth is within. Now, from our study last week or week before last, you know what they're talking about? You are the truth yourself. That's what they are saying to you. You are the truth. And why don't you raise your hand? You want to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, last week, the word of God is truth. New Age says truth is within you. Now, this is funny. Truth is within you. The Bible teaches us to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, which will be visible to all. His coming in glory is the blessed hope. That's the teaching of the Bible. New Age says, wait for the Messiah, who will assist with the establishment of one world government. Hey, monetary system and religion. So they are not thinking about the coming of the Lord. They are talking about the establishment of one world government. So what does that imply? It means They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe all that. So the world here is everything. And there will come a time the coming of the Messiah will be, the world will be one and they will have one government. That's their argument. Now, the Bible says, turn away from sin. What is the belief of New Age? Turn from ignorance. There is no sin. Oh, New Age say, what do? You just turn from ignorance. You just learn. Just study. There's nothing like sin. You know, when the church talk about sin, they are just making mockery of themselves. Nothing like sin. But what? Turn from ignorance. That means the quest of learning new things every day. When you are knowledgeable, then it's all okay for you. If you don't have that great knowledge, it's not okay for you. That's what they are teaching here. There's nothing like sin, so you cannot turn away from it. You can't turn away from it. All right. Bible. Become Christ-like through sanctification. The Bible says all those believers must gradually pray to become what? Christ-like. What is New Age approach? Discover your own divinity. What are they saying from our study last week or week before last? You are God. The problem you have is that you fail to discover your own potential. So you need to rise to the level of God. That's the teaching of New Age. Comparison of Bible and New Age doctrine I got this from the Exxon channel, and this guy did a great job on his channel, and I love what he did. Ralph, you said you have something to say, and you have a note here, right? Hello, Ralph, you say you have a note here.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Now, that's all for New Age. We just have a little piece there that we wanted to finish up and then come up with our conclusion. New Age say there's no God, nothing like that. You're wasting your own time. You are God, and God is in everything. That's pantheism. That's pantheism. God is in everything, in the mountains, in the hills, in whatever you touch is God. And you yourself, you are. So when we conclude that, what happened? They revised what? The occults. So they have brought together all the various sects, like Gnosticism, Baha'i, and different religions that are focusing on man as the center of the universe. That is the key difference. Man is the center of the universe. Man is responsible, that deistic thought. Man controls everything. Now, we will today conclude all of the discussion that we've been having. And what we have been trying to do is to establish the existence of Adam and Eve. We say it is a reality. Now, the various discussion that we have made, most of these groups said that Adam and Eve is a myth, nothing like that. We're wasting our own time. The whole world, it was just a big blast. And the creation story is not correct. But looking at what we've been discussing, we're coming to the final thought of our study in this identical section. One of the evidences that God created the heavens, I mean the universe, is what is referred to as the first cause argument for God's existence. Or the cosmological argument. The concept is that everything that exists must have a cause. Everything that exists, you look at the mountain, you look at the hill, wherever you look at, it must have what? It must have a cause. God is the first cause of the universe. This logical fact has three premises. Premise number one, whatever begins, let's be careful, whatever begins to exist must have a cause. Two, the universe began to exist. Three, therefore, the universe has a cause. The truth is that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. God also created a beautiful garden and created Adam and Eve, a couple, to lead God's creation. Now, there's nothing that might be the first cause in everything. When you look at the mountain, if you see your house somewhere, somebody must build it. So, right, you say you have something, like this is the area, right? Hello? Are you there?
Were you asking for me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, my line's cutting in and out.
Yes,
I did have a comment. As this is, I just want to remind everybody again of Satan's strategy. You know, he slowly undermines the foundation,
right,
until it's completely full of cracks, causing everything to crumble. And if we just look back through history, we see this. In the Reformation, he opened it up to new world views. Then when we had the foundation of America and the separation of church and state,
right,
it then opened up for additional ones. Mm-hmm. Horace Mann came along and opened up the public schools, which permitted non-sectarian approach. So again, weakens the Bible as the foundation. You know, each of these undermined the influence and role of the Bible in Western society, which then opened the door to numerous alternative worldviews. So now today we have this whole stew, for lack of a better word, of worldviews that are out there, just tons and tons of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. You are right. It is the Satan is doing that. Satan is really doing that, trying to put things in a way and making people confused. Now, from our study,
yes,
if you follow up, excuse me. Okay, thank you. If you follow up the study, we said that from 500 to 1,500, the Bible was widely accepted as the answer for the worldview questions. From that time, 1,500 years, the Bible was the center. Anything you wanted to know, even though we have these various sects here and there, but the Bible was the key center to answer the worldview questions. Now, when I said the worldview questions, what are the questions that the Bible was answering? Let me just repeat those questions here for the benefit of those who are joining us in the conclusion. One, what is real? What men still today and then want to know what is most real? We want to know what is the nature of the world? What is the source of knowledge? Is there life after death? Does God exist? What is the nature of man? What is the nature of ultimate reality? Are miracles possible? What is the source of knowledge? What is the basis of morality? These and many others are the worldview questions that the church was answering. The church leaders and theologians, they were the experts in most parts of the Western world. They were the experts. Most scientists were believers, as we studied, and taught creationism. Galileo and Isaac Newton, they were believers, and they taught creationism. And that an orderly universe was created by God. That was the belief of the first scientists. They believed that. The people then were confused when Martin Luther launched the Reformation in 1517. The worldview experts were against each other in their disagreement within the church. Church leadership. Two key things. Church leadership, salvation. On these two things, they were fighting among themselves. It was a heated argument. People died. So many things went on. The Reformation was absolutely necessary. But the serpent used it against the church and the theologians to redirect the people to new experts. That is a sad thing that happened. I must admit, and I know, and I said it last time in one of our teachings, that had it not been for the Reformation, we would not have the great United States of America. The Reformation brought a lot of good things. But along with the good things, some other bad things happen. It's what we're talking about today. People turn away from the Bible and they are seeking for their own answer to the worldviews. These theologians and church leaders cannot solve your problems anymore, the people begin to argue. How can you follow the pastors and the bishops and this great theologians when they are fighting war among themselves? Where can we go? It was the serpent whispering in their ears. The serpent is so crafty. The same thing that was done in the garden, the serpent repeated it here. Now, listen. The Reformation lasted for 59 years. That was a long time. And so the people got confused. They didn't know where to turn. The 16th and 17th centuries became the age of doubt. Why? Because in the 15th century, when the church began to fight among themselves, the people began to doubt. Should I follow the church? Should I follow the teaching of the church? What am I on this earth for? Because the church is not answering my question anymore. There was a major problem. Then deism emerged. Deism emerged and taught that God created all things for mankind. But he left everything with us. He's not in control anymore. Now you see how crafted the serpent is in dealing with us. The first major group that came out was deism. Deism did not deny the creation of the world. He said God created the whole thing. Yes. But you see what happened? We are in charge. He left it with us to lead. He's out of it. We can do it ourselves. We can answer our own problem. We can direct ourselves. That's what the deists said. Darwinism became the experts. His book, The Origin of Species, appealed to the people. They wanted to know answers to their worldview questions. When Darwin wrote his book, naturalistic scientists, when they came about and a materialistic approach, the people, they got into it. What were they doing? Here's what I'm so concerned about. They wanted to know answer for themselves. They could not go to the church anymore, and so they were finding answer on their own. And they could get into anything they felt it was necessary to help them. Even today, we found that. When you are confused and you don't know where to turn, anything can turn you away. You can be gullible in all that you do. So that was the problem with the people. They began to follow this group, follow that group, as we have studied. Men are saying to each other that there is no God, and all things are the result of a Big Bang explosion. You see? Make it well. You talk about God issue. Not God. The whole thing was just a big explosion. But what caused it to explode? What, in fact, what brought a big explosion together? That's the point. They can't understand. If there was anything of that kind, now, see, what brought it together? Modern scientific scientists came out with their own, with this Big Bang theory. And they began to teach this theory, which says that the universe began with a huge explosion, provides convincing explanation for certain observable phenomena. And that is my door kid, you will find. But these are the areas where they were teaching. Hey, the whole thing was a big thing that exploded, and that's it. We have the problem today. These things are taught in our universities and all our school system. We have a major problem. All these are the reenactment of the serpent's craftiness that caused our first parents, Adam and Eve, to disobey God. The serpent comes back in different forms, in different forms and colors to deceive mankind. Let us not forget. I believe from the above analysis that they do what they are doing today is because they are disappointed in the church and theologians who were their experts during the Reformation. And that is a key to the problem, that people got confused. And today, even to this day, they just got confused and say, well, I'm going to help myself because I can't get any help from anywhere. I got to do something. All right. Rob, you have something. We got to a place.
There's I have a concern here.
Right.
You know, God prescribed for us a system of absolute laws. Right. But under deistic and humanistic worldviews, these absolutes have been supplanted with relative thinking.
Right.
You know, they've replaced this law to where now it's changing as you will. So, you know, allowing for disagreement because these laws are merely suggestions, and in a humanistic worldview, it elevates humanity to the center, just as you said.
Yeah.
So that individualistic ideology becomes supreme.
Right.
And, you know, some of this sounds good to people, especially if they're not believers. This is how Satan lures us in. So, for
right.
example, the Ten Commandments become, in the humanistic perspective, number one, thou shalt strive to promote
right.
the greater good of humanity before all selfish desires.
Right.
Well, that sounds good, but again, that could mean sacrificing one person to save others. Well, mm-hmm. in the absolutes, God said, thou shalt not murder. So there's a problem there.
Right.
Number four, thou shalt treat all humans as equals, regardless of race, gender, age, creed, identity, orientation, and so on. Okay, well, that sounds pretty good. We know what God made us in his image. So let's continue on. Number five, thou shalt use reason as your guide. Science, knowledge, observation, and rational analysis are the best ways to determine any course of action.
Right.
So that's kind of like saying, oh, use common sense, but we know what they say about common sense. Not everybody has it.
That's true. Not everybody.
So now here's another set. This is from the Ten Non-Commandments in the book Atheistic Mind, Humanistic Heart.
Mm-hmm.
There is no universal moral truth. Our experiences
right.
and preferences shape our sense of how to behave. And then the last one in their thing, number 10, this is the one, the real kicker. All of the above is subject to change in the face of new evidence. So literally, they're not written in stone. It can change at any time, truly relative. So carrying this line of thinking out further, Jean-Paul Sartre said, Dostoevsky said, if God didn't exist, everything would be possible. That is the very starting point of existentialism. Indeed, everything is permissible if God does not exist. So when you remove God and his absolutes, you create a vacuum that will be filled with someone or something. It doesn't matter what you think. It's going to be filled with a moral framework, whether it's relative or not.
Right.
And that's the breeding ground. That's how Stalin came into power, and Pol Pot and others. Look, you know, look at what happened. They supplanted it with their own relativistic moral code.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing that is, those who reject God yet they still feel the need to create a counterposition or some sort of moral guide. Isn't that a direct contradiction? Anyhow, the far better course is to acknowledge God as the true source of good and of a moral code, and focus on Him.
Right.
That then provides the well-being for His creation, not some relativistic laws.
Good. Thank you. And you're right. You're right. Now, I think the position, what we promise, the promise we made in this discussion, we promised to prove the existence of Adam and Eve. And from the study, if you follow up, please listen to all the videos, you will be convinced that it is true, Adam and Eve existed, and the debate we have today was based upon some the same visitation of the enemy in the Garden of Eden. The enemy continued to visit with us and causing problems among us. Now, my concern and our concern here is the serpent has reappeared in our garden to today. Satan is still setting the churches against each other.
Mm-hmm.
To continue his deception. The enemy is doing that. Churches are against each other. See, this is a major problem. Some churches in this generation are ordaining gays and lesbians into leadership. How can we redirect the people back to the church for direction when what has been condemned as sin in the Bible has been openly embraced in other Christian churches? See, what has been condemned by the Word of God, the same thing is many Christian churches are accepting it as norm. I don't know. The enemy is still visiting in our garden. God gave us the right answer through the Apostle John. Let him, I love what John said. Hey, people want to do what they want to do. We have the scientists. We have all these, the evolutionists. We have the New Age movement, the New Ages. These, we have the Baha'i and these different occult groups. They are claiming that, look, this world is for us, that this is our kingdom. But listen to what the Apostle John said, and I quote, "Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy." I love that. Okay, he continues this here. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to every one according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." We find that in Revelation 22:1-13. Today, it's the church improving. Now, I just love this concluding part, because in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, God spoke to John and said, let the people go ahead and do what they want to do. But the time is coming, and that I will come and do what I know is right. So we see it, that the people are doing what they want to do. They establish their own occult group, their own religion, and some of them are saying there is no God. The whole world was just a big explosion, and they're not part of this. But the Word of God said, okay, let a man do what he wants to do. Let him continue. If you are a righteous man, continue to be righteous. If you are a wicked man and you don't want to repent, just go ahead. The time will come. and the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end will appear. And that day will tell, that day will give us some great joy for all of us who know that when he comes, we are going to be with him. All right. Now I just wanted to hello discussion here. And we thank God we have with us Dr. Waller Wissito with us, and he's been following up this teaching. So we have my co-teacher, Dr. Robert Soam, and you have heard him at many times. He will come and just summarize the whole thing. So tonight we are here to just talk a little bit about this whole thing. And our concern here is to prove the existence of Adam and Eve. It was real. And God, they were the first couple. Because our study is on marriage. If we cannot establish this fact, then of course we cannot talk about marriage. And so we have presented the whole thing to you. My first question here tonight will go to brother. We'll go to my dear brother, Brother Waller.
Yes, yes, Doc.
I have one question that I want to ask, you know. What is your input on the New Age movement as it relates to what they believe about God? Can you give me a summary of what you think?
To just give you a summary concerning, first of all, I want to say thank you, Dr. Liberty. And thank you, Dr. Rob. The summary is that, first of all, the subline opening of the Bible, that is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And God made man in his image, which means his likeness. Now, that does not suggest that man is God. No. Mm-hmm. And I just believe strongly that man is sinful, you know, from the beginning when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. Man must be able to repent and come to the saving knowledge of God. All right, man will partake in the eternity of God when man repents mm-hmm. and accepts salvation.
Yep.
And then that reminds me, but these things shouldn't take us by surprise, because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 said we must know that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Perilous times shall come, yeah.
I mean, you know exactly that men will be lovers of themselves. They're ever learning, but they will never be able to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible says also that they will worship, you know, the creature more than the creator.
More than the creator, yeah.
Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie
mm-hmm.
and worship and serve the creature more than the creator?
You got it.
And so forth. So I believe that the New Ager, to refute their theory as it relates, you know, to what they have been saying and spreading this falsehood, man in no way can be God. No, man is not God. So to conclude, man is man and God is God. He shares not his glory with anyone.
Uh-huh.
He shares not his glory, because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If man is God, then man does not need any repentance.
That's true. Yeah.
But man needs to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Dr. Liberty.
Thank you. Thank you. We're concluding this part. I mean, we're just trying to aid. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
What's the big deal about this Big Bang Fury? What's the big deal about it? It's just a mega explosion. What do you think about that? Where the explosion came from? I don't understand that.
Well, you know, every time I hear that, it reminds me of a great book that I read back in seminary called The Long War Against God, which traces the origin of really the Big Bang Theory, or what evolution, what Darwin proposed as evolution. And it's interesting. It's written by Dr. Henry Morris.
Yeah.
Who goes back and looks through various philosophers and religions, talking about this Big Bang Theory, and he traced it all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia. And, in all these different religions, they all start with this sort of chaotic world that existed, and then everything evolved out of it. Well, if we go back and we read the creation account, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as it continues, well, there was darkness, spirit was hovering. It's before, the earth, well, basically, he says, the earth was without form or void. Here's this a primordial soup, if you will. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's a bang or what, but, he spoke, the world came into existence, and then now you have sort of a, everything starting to start to take shape. And then as he starts the creation acts, everything starts taking order and form. But before that, it's where these other religions start. They just forget that first verse, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. So, if you look at it, you look at the cosmological argument,
mm-hmm.
We see everything is finite. Well, finite implies that there has to be something that created it. I have a hard time accepting that we're here by random chance, that it was just a big bang.
Yeah.
I remember once reading, I can't remember who the gentleman was that said it, but he said, there's a greater chance of a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a 57 Cadillac than there is for the Big Bang Theory to occur. I have to agree with him.
that's wow. Yeah, he got it. All right.
I'm thinking, going back to this whole relativity, we as Christians were to be Christ-like, and I think kind of that this is where we're seeing all these worldviews pop up, and with the church and as it's crept in, our role, I think, that's been forgotten in a sense, or the role's changed, things have been undermined. Going back to the Ten Commandments, remember what Christ said, Matthew 22:36-38. They said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.
Amen.
We need to remember, love the person, but reject or rebuke the sin.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes, we reject the person and the sin, which is, I think, what started opening up some of these worldviews and making these other things tickle the ears and sound good. But we're to be the light and salt of this world. You throw salt on a wound, sure, it stings, but it also heals. And it is for the restoration of that person. So we've got to remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good. The New Age will say, man is God. God is in everything. In fact, when you die, believe in reincarnation. Now, voila.
Yes, Doc.
How can you refute this group in terms of reincarnation?
All right, thank you very much. To refute that theory or that belief by the New Agers as claimed by them, we need to go back to the Bible, because that is the essence of the conclusion of this entire essence of what the New Age is teaching. Right, because we said the New Age doctrine versus the Bible doctrine.
Right.
Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, you know, talks about when a man dies, it says that the dust goes to the earth where it came from.
Uh-huh.
And then the soul goes back to God who gives it. Of course, you and I know that a man is a tripartite being, man, God, body, soul, and spirit. Soul and spirit are inseparable. So, and then Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, there's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all indication, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, they say, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor anything in the grave where thou goest. All right. I'm reading from the King James Version.
Right.
So to set that background, to refute that view that there is reincarnation, no, the Bible does not say so. When man dies, man must be prepared to face one, eternity, or condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible does not talk about that. And I think we as theologian, you know, should consistently refute this, you know, this theory or this belief by the New Ager, you know, using the Word of God as evidence, as people who are grounded, rooted, and settled in the things of the Scripture.
Good. Thank you. Well, good. I'm just throwing this question over there. Anybody who want to,
right?
Who want to answer? You can go ahead and do it. Is that this whole fossil record? Anybody can address that? Rob, are you there?
I am. Yeah, the fossil record. Many years ago, I looked into quite a few different things. The fundamental flaw in the thinking, and same with, the fundamental flaw is that the assumption is everything is occurring today as it has in the past. Now, Scripture tells us that that's not correct. I mean, we had the great flood with Noah and many other events that radically changed the world. So it makes it very difficult to extrapolate backwards. You're looking at a dinosaur bone or some other fossil, and you say, oh, it's 100,000 million years old, whatever. We can't really know that. It's based on the assumption that we're – that nothing, you know, that things haven't changed. It's continuing to operate in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen where they've taken, you know, recent items that they found and carbon dated them,
mm-hmm.
and found, you know, these things that were just a few years old to be, you know, 100,000, 200,000 years old.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no, this can't be. This is something that's been newly created. So there's quite a bit of problems with it. And then, of course, you have the sediment and different things. You know, if the world went through a great flood, a catastrophe of that sort, we've seen small scale with eruptions of volcanoes and other things that have created these fossil layers. Could not a flood do the same thing?
Right. Yeah, thank you. You were right. In one of my books, the one I wrote on, which is Growing Missionaries Biblically, A Fresh Look at Missions in African Context, in the conclusion, I discussed something. I don't want to read it word for word, okay? But I discussed something about, and I just asked quite a few questions, okay? I know that Darwin wrote his masterpiece in the 1800s. But how can a man who wrote something in the 1800s would be able to explain what happened when he was not even born?
Right.
See, these are difficult issues. So it places Darwinism in the area of faith. Because you're not there. Even with scientists. And I discussed that in this, but with scientists. The key thing is they observe, they touch, they study it, they do measurement. But if you want to say that the world is 2 billion years old, how do you know? Were you there to touch it? Were you there to observe? So these are difficult issues, but hey, man wants to find answer for themselves, right? And as long as man wants to get the answer for himself, he can get anything. So I did that in this book, and it's a wonderful chapter that I got there and discussed it well. But the point that we want to make here tonight is this. We have proven to you. I just want to thank Dr. Rapp and Dr. Wallach. I mean, Rob has been so great, and Walla been following up, and thank you, Walla, for accepting to be one of our panelists tonight.
Welcome.
And we thank you for the for your contributions.
Welcome.
But when you follow up the whole teaching we've been doing, we're not digressing from our main point. We're trying to prove to you the reason why these various sects are fighting against the existence of Adam and Eve is because they were disappointed. When the church, when the enemy revisited the garden of the church, and there was a lot of wrong things were going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
When God raised up one man by the name of Martin Luther to bring about the Reformation, it was not an easy thing. For 59 years, rather, the church was fighting among themselves. Theologians against theologians, church leaders against church leaders. There was a lot of things that went on. Because of this, men at the time could not trust the church anymore to lead them. So they began to find the answer from within themselves. This is the point. Now, when you arrive at a workable answer for yourself, will you allow the old answer to bring you down? No. This is the fight that they are doing today.
Mm-hmm.
All the fight that they are doing is because they say, we don't need a church anymore. For almost 1,000 years, the church, or 1,500 years, or 2,000 years, or 1,000 years, the church been telling us what to do. Now we know what to do. We don't need the church anymore. This is the point. So the whole issue here is, how do we get the people back to God? And I told you, we need to find out, has the church failed in its mission? I put it up there, but one thing I know, when I look at what Apostle John wrote in Revelation, no, the church did not, because all these things that are going on today were prophesied. It was in the Word of God that's how things will turn out. And for those of you who are standing in the law, stand where you are. Continue to do what is right. You were doing wrong thing, if you don't want to repent, go ahead, be there. The master will come. He will bring everything together. And so, we have proven the existence of Adam and Eve. And all these various groups that have been saying, no, that's not true, here and there, they're doing that to promote themselves. But the very people, the very groups were depending on the church for the world view question. So thank you. That's where we are tonight. And if anybody have a question to ask, you're welcome. If there's no one, then I will announce what we're going to do next. Any question? Anybody got a question?
Well, it's not a question of that, but it was just some recommendation as you conclude. Mm-hmm. And the recommendation is that I just wanted to buttress what you said concerning Revelation, which concludes the whole thing. And as another passage parallel, you know, to that, it said, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body.
Uh-huh.
According to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Good. And then my recommendation is that I recommend that, you know, we as 21st century believer, I mean, sound, rooted, settled, grounded in the word of God, we must be able to buttress your efforts, that this teaching must not only be done on Zoom, but pastoral summit, you know, around the world in Africa, where I believe the New Age movement has not really been rooted as in the Western world, so that other people who have not yet known about this false movement, you know, to be taught. Mm-hmm. All right, it must be rejected, you know, or denounced to people who have not yet known it. Even right in America, right. I recommend that, you know, pastoral seminar and teaching sections can be held, you know, by you. And then you could use that opportunity to be able to refute this falsehood of the New Ages. Thank you very much, Doc.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Wala. We appreciate your suggestions, and we prayed about it. Okay. Now, since we have proven the existence of Adam and Eve, we will now move another step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next week, we will begin to study cultural marriages in the Bible.
Okay.
And here, what I want you to do, this week, Sunday, we want to know where a king got his wife.
Okay.
Set up a king, and where does he, how he got his wife? All right. So that would be a good study, king, and I'm gonna bring in one more person, king, and another person. So we'll see exactly how the whole thing lined up. So King, at the time, how he got his wife. That's good. That's a good study, right?
Yep, it's a good.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a good study. And do your own homework, and I will communicate with you by Monday or Tuesday. And let's see how we're going to arrive at King's teaching on next week, Sunday. Okay, brother, well, can you close out in prayer?
Sure. Most gracious and everlasting Father, we want to thank you tonight for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Dr. Harold Liberty. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge you gave him. Thank you for Dr. Rob. Father, we just want to bless your name as he concluded on the subject of the New Age movement. And Lord, we've seen their belief versus the Bible, the doctrine, but we know your word is the final authority that we can stand on, that we can stand on to defeat the enemies, Father God. We just thank you, oh God, that we will consistently give some word to our people via the internet or even in symposium, pastoral summit. That, Father, we will be able to refute the false teaching that have spread by these people. We want to thank you for all you've done for us. As we leave, we are not leaving from your presence. We are ever before thee.
Thank you.
We want to thank you, Lord, for this time again as we go to study more on cultural marriage. Father, we pray that you will endow our wisdom, especially the head of the panelists, that the liberty just be with him. And in dying with wisdom, and now all that we do will be done to your glory. May we decrease and you increase, and that your name will be glorified and man will be edified. And this is our prayer. We pray in no other name But in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next week, culture of marriages in the Bible. Where does King got his wife?
Okay.
We'll look into that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.